We're talking about the importance of vital union, living contact. Got to have our sword. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And turn to somebody and say, it's important to breathe. Smile at them and say, just breathe. In the natural, if you don't breathe, you die. In the spiritual, if you don't breathe, you die. And the way you don't breathe spiritually is by disconnecting from the presence of God. So it's important for us to know all the ways that we can abide in Him and the way we can dwell in Him so that we can breathe. You know, somebody can serve God for a long time, be doing real well, but the time they stop connecting to Him is the time they start dying spiritually. And then we become the worst version of ourselves, and we begin to make some terrible and horrible decisions. Look at somebody and say, your worst decisions in life will be when you have disconnected from the presence of God. Say, Pastor, why would somebody do that? I can't explain that. I can't answer that. All I can tell you is all the years I've been in ministry, I've seen it happen time and time again where people disconnect from the presence of God. They're just about to make some life-destroying decisions. When you're in His presence, He's going to warn you. He's going to love you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to exhort you. And He's going to make sure He brings people across your path or bring you back to your senses. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Anybody here ever need to be brought to your senses again? Well, none of us have arrived, have we, church? Amen. Remember, there are four powerful promises in generalities tonight. For those who abide in His presence, you're going to have peace. Going to have amen. You're going to have protection. You're going to have productivity. And you're going to have pleasure. The greatest pleasure you'll ever have, not just in this world, but in the world to come, is the presence of God. But guess what? You'll never live without His presence on the other side. So you might as well go ahead and start practicing His presence now. Because you'll never find anything in a bottle. You never find anything in a relationship. Never find anything in a bottle of pills. Never find anything in this world, success, money, power, fame, possessions, that'll replace what you get from the presence of God. And guess what? It's not what you buy or what you provide. It's what He provided for you and for me. And the cost was the blood of the Lamb. Amen? How dare we not enjoy the presence of God with a high cost of what He paid to give it to you? So we talked about some of the ways that you abide in Him. Number one, you abide by honoring the name of Jesus. Everybody say, Lord, bless the name that is above every name. He literally inhabits the praises of His people. So as you praise and lift up that name, you can expect to have His presence in abundance. You abide by listening to the Holy Ghost. Say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Number two, if you've received the Spirit of God and He lives in you, you know, He tells us that we have a teacher, we have a helper, we have an advocate, we have somebody, a paraclete that comes alongside of us. You know, the fact that He sent the Holy Spirit tells you that God values you walking in and abiding in the presence of God. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost tonight?
Amen.
Aren't you glad His gifts are real?
Amen.
And for today?
Yes.
Anybody ever been blessed by the operation of His gifts in your life? Amen. Number three, abide by being a witness for Jesus. You know, if you go out and you share the gospel and you do what He's told you to do, He's going to go with you and confirm the word with signs following. He is there with you until the end of the age, according to Matthew 28. If you want to enjoy His presence, then let God use you as a witness. There's just something about another dimension of His presence when you're out there telling other people, telling the untold, reaching the unreached, praying for those that need prayer. When you're doing something in His name, ministry, is service in the name of the Lord or rendered in the name of the Lord, you're going to experience His presence. Say abide by being a witness for Jesus. Number four, by walking uprightly with God. You notice that when Adam and Eve fell, they sinned, they withdrew from the presence of God. You are not going to be pursuing God's presence when you're pursuing something that contradicts His word and His commandments. Notice that God didn't hide from them. The word still stands. Draw nigh to God, and He'll do what? He'll draw nigh to you. Say that with me. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Do you believe that promise today? Yes, and so it's very difficult. It's not because God is saying, you know what, you're kind of dirty, don't come around me. That's not what God says at all. He invites the dirty to come to Him.
Amen.
A lot of people think, well, I can't receive the Holy Ghost until I clean my act up. No, the Holy Ghost is the cleaner.
Amen.
You just come to Him as you are and expect God to move in your life. It's not about God pushing you away when you sin. We push ourselves away. Our hearts condemn us, and in fear we hide just like Adam and Eve. But it doesn't have to be that way. Look at somebody and tell them, don't run from God, run to God. And it's almost a cliche in the modern church to say that, but the reality is people still do it. They run from God, run from God's people, run from the house of God. When I get my act together and get all cleaned up and brush up, you know, and then put a red bow on my head, then I can come to church. No, come the way you are. Because I'll tell you two things. The key to you getting right is being a part of the body, not away from the body. Amen. And number two, there's nobody else here that's better than you.
That's right. Amen.
That's good.
That's
right. Let me try that again. When you walk in the door with your bad self, no one else was better than you. They've got their own thing going on. Oh, no, so-and-so lives clean and they got everything together. They're perfect. You know, they never do anything wrong. Do you know the condition of their heart? No. Do you know what God's dealing with them about? No, they haven't arrived. Are you here? They've not arrived. Just because you don't know what God's dealing with them about doesn't mean they've arrived. So what do? You come in and join the club. The club of the imperfect. The club of pathetic attitudes and repeated behaviors and stupid words. I guess just you and me. There's no reason to divorce yourself from the presence of God or his people because you haven't arrived. That's a trick of the devil. It was a trick of the devil in Genesis 3, and it's still a trick today. So it's important you do that. So I want to talk about one of my favorite ways to abide in him is by staying in the Word of God. Staying in the Word of God. There's a supernatural element of you spending time in his word and then following through with obedience. It's just hard to express in words. But I can tell you that there'll always be a feeding, a filling, an inspiration, an impartation when you spend time in the word. That is, if you honor it. It is not a history book. It is not one holy book among holy books. There is nothing like it in the universe. It is not something man created. I'm astounded these days at the number of so-called evangelicals and people even of faith that have distanced themselves from the reality of the inerrancy of Scripture. What they've managed to do is place their intellect over the Word of God. I have the power and authority and knowledge to judge this. The moment you do that, you've set yourself up for a failure. And the reason you have set yourself up for a failure is because now you can pick and choose what you choose to honor. This mindset has allowed people to dismiss such timeless truths as the presence of God, a reality of heaven, a reality of hell. Let me give you some news here. The church did not institute or create hell.
No.
Jesus is the one that brought the teaching of hell. And the warnings to stay away from that. So what have you done? When you've dismissed yourself from the authority of Scripture, treating it as not as an errant and somehow man-made, what you've done is you have contradicted Jesus himself. Good luck with that. Say it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. The word is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Jesus and the word are one. A high, high view of Scripture is how you're going to tap into a place of abiding in his presence like you've never known before. I don't care if the whole world, it seems like the whole church world dumbs down their respect for the Word of God. You make the quality decision. It is first place and final authority in your life and will always be that way. But it is not just even inerrant. It is covenant language.
Amen.
It is purchased and set in motion by blood.
Amen.
And just accept the fact that you're not as smart as you think you are. You are not as intelligent as the God who inspired, amen, the book of Genesis through Revelation. It has stood the test of time. The supernatural compilation of the book, it's just amazing. The supernatural preservation of the truths there. It has a mark on it. It's not natural. Amen. And because it's not natural, it has a supernatural power to bring itself to pass. Amen. See, we believe in being Holy Ghost people. But we also believe in being Word people.
Yes,
and that's what keeps us healthy. Say, I'm a Word person. Say it, I'm a Holy Ghost person. I'm both. If all you get is Word, 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 and you never fellowship, you never see the motion or the movement of the Holy Spirit, you know, you got a lot of Word, but you can just kind of fall over from your intellect. On the other hand, if all you have is the moving of the Spirit of God and activity and experiences, but you don't have the Word of God, you can get into gross error very, very fast over that. You need both. Say, I'm a Word person, and I'm a Holy Ghost person. Over in John chapter 15, I want to read this to you from the Amplified Classic. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit, abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. So if your intellect is separating you from the Word of God, guess what? You're on your own. What can your natural man accomplish? If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. And such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me like oxygen. And listen, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Now note this, that to wither means to shrivel or to lose or cause to lose energy, freshness, or force. When you divorce yourself, cut yourself off from the Word of God, there is no life-giving sap flowing into you. You cannot make it without your constant, consistent, and dedicated, disciplined life in the Word of God. And you know, Sunday and Wednesday's not going to cut it for you. The best thing we can do is, motivate you, encourage you. You know, something happened that gives you a striking of the heart with the reality of redemption where you want to pursue God. You want to go after God. You want all this presence and Word you can get. But this can't be done. How many of y'all eat physically more than Wednesday and Sunday? Or does Sunday and Wednesday do you okay? You're one of those Pentecostals and you eat twice a week. Do you know that when you put food in your mouth, your body knows what to do with it? Does it not? Is saliva not created? Is it not beginning the digestive process? And your body converts that food into energy. Amen. And then dispels with whatever waste it can't use. Now, your spirit man is the same way, but in the realm of the spirit. The supernatural aspect of the Word of God, you take in the Word of God, say it through my eyes and my ears and my mouth. These are the three gates of how the Word of God makes entrance into your heart. It slips into your heart. And what happens is your spirit man, just like the body knows what to do with the food, your spirit man knows what to do with the Word of God. And it's broken down and it produces a force, not called physical strength, but a force called faith. That's why the Word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. A dynamic duo, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up in your what? Most holy faith. You're activating that supernatural ability to digest the Word of God, apply it to your life, and produce a strength called faith. What does that mean? It means that you're not strong in faith by some supernatural decree of God. You're strong in faith because you chose to be. Let's turn that upside down. You're weak in faith because you chose to be. By what you did or did not do with the Word of God. You can fill your mind and heart with all kinds of things. We'll talk about this a little bit later tonight. But if you really want to see the abiding presence of God and the victory in your life, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to spend time on your own, self-motivated. Has it come to that? Self-motivated to actually spend the time in the Word of God. And always maintain teachability. I tell you that when you get to the point where nobody can teach you anything, you pull away, you separate yourself, you know, from God's ordained place for you to be in terms of the body, in terms of your relationships, because you know it all. That is the badge of the adolescent, not the badge of the mature believer. That's right.
That's right.
You must stay hungry. You must stay involved in fellowshipping with the Word of God. And the day you get that I know it all attitude, that's when you stop growing. And one of the things that will happen is people will swing from vine to vine, from place to place, looking for that thing, and they never ever find that ability to grow because they uprooted themselves at their own command, not God's command. And it's about time the body of Christ started holding itself accountable for that kind of nonsense. Look at somebody and say, your roots are showing, your roots are showing. Keep them buried. Somebody came to me one time and they said, you know, I just don't get anything out of your teaching anymore. And I said, well, first of all, it might be because you moved from the second row down to the back row. With all respect to those who are sitting on the back row tonight. Wednesday night crowd is different. And you know, it's hard to feed somebody when the mouth's not open. What's the comparison? If your spirit's not open, there's no preacher in the world that can make you feed. No matter what it is. Amen. Well, the Bible says to a hungry person, every bitter thing is sweet. How hungry are we for the things of God? Amen. Go over to John chapter 1 for just a moment. You okay if we camp out on this for a little bit?
Yes.
Turn to somebody and say, abide by staying in the Word. Verse 1 of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
He was with God in the beginning.
Yep.
Skip on down to around verse 14, the Word became flesh. So what was placed on that cross? The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For John testifies concerning Him. He cries out saying, the one, this is the one whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. Made Him known how? Through the Word of God. Anybody here want to know God more and more? You do it through His Word primarily. Watch this. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus, how are you going to access that grace and truth? Anybody here ever need more grace and truth in your life? How about, let's put it like this, more favor and truth in your life? You're going to do it through that Word. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I refuse to wither and fall away, get gathered up, and then burn. Find two openings with me, if you would. Go to Psalm chapter 1, and then Jeremiah 17. When you found it, say, I'm there. Verse 1. Psalm 1, blessed is the man, empowered to prosper, succeed, bear much fruit, excel, go to the highest level, increase, is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. And we'll stop there just for a moment. Let me define this for you. The counsel of the wicked involves the thoughts of the wicked. Say the thoughts. And wicked means twisted. So what you're talking about here is the tendency for you and for me to be influenced by the wrong influences. In this case, the thoughts of the wicked or the thoughts of the twisted or people with twisted thoughts. Now, devil was a master at twisting what? God's thoughts. Amen. Pieces of truth sprinkled with what? Twisted application and things that are out of context. The standing in the way of sinners refers to the deeds of sinners. We are not going to be involved with the thoughts of the wicked or the deeds or the behavior of those. And how many understand? The devil wants you to take on their thoughts and take on their behavior. And a lot of people in the body of Christ have bought into this. They're thinking just like the world, acting just like the world. And then, of course, the seed of mockers involves not just thoughts or deeds, but actually mocking, which means it refers to the words of mockers. The devil will love for you and for me to begin to think like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. In other words, our primary influence is not what the word says, it's what the world says. And that's a recipe for disaster. And I'll tell you why it's a recipe for disaster, because that becomes your influence. And what your influence is reveals who you're actually trusting in your life. And that's the problem. If you look at Jeremiah 17 for a moment. Very similar language between Psalm 1 and chapter 17. In verse 9, this is what the Lord says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, influenced by his thoughts, his deeds, his words, who depends on his flesh for strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He'll be like a bush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who does what? Trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." He's getting his thoughts not from the wicked, but from God. He's getting his behavior and his code of conduct and his deeds from the word of God, not the world. And he's getting his words not from the world, but from the word of God. If you get this, say, "I've got it." He'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves always green. It has no worries in a year drought. Shout it out. No fear here. No worry here. And never fails to bear fruit. Now, there's always going to be a war going on between who's going to get your thoughts, who's going to get your deeds, and who's going to get your words. It's never ending. And we're not talking about just the world. Religion can do this. I've never seen anything since I've been a Christian as I see the war on people trying to talk people out of believing in the supernatural. Talking people out of believing in miracles. Why? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on is people have been influenced not by the word, but by their circumstances. By this world and its influence, instead of trusting God, they're trusting the institutions of man and the influence of man. And that doesn't get you the blessing. That gets you the curse. Shout this out. Trusting God gets me the blessing. Trusting the enemy, trusting people gets me cursed. So if we're not doing that, then what are we being influenced by? Look at Psalm 1. I'm not being overtaken by the twisted thinking of the world or their deeds or their words, but his delight. Say, my delight.
My delight.
His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Look at the contrast. Trusting in man versus trusting God. Influenced by man versus influenced by God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now you really want to tap into a new level of God's presence and victory and peace in your life and all the promises that come with it. Then what you want to do is get to a place where you truly delight in the word of God. Now write this down. That means the place where you derive your greatest pleasure from. And a lot of Christians do not derive their greatest pleasure from the word of God. But they want the blessing. They want the results. They want the good things, but are they delighting in the word of God? Well, the word defines what that actually looks like. A person who delights in the word of God is doing what?
Meditating day and night.
Say it, night and day.
Day and night.
Night and day.
Day and night.
What are we meditating on night and day? Well, you know, I'm tending to be a person of worry. Well, you got your answer. God hasn't called you to be a worrywart. He's called you to meditate day and night. Write this down. Worry disconnects you from the presence of God, like faith connects you to the presence of God. Worry is a form of fear. It's a manifestation of fear in a form of fear. And you can plug into fear, but the moment you plug into fear, you unplug from faith. The moment you plug into faith, you unplug from fear. There's no way to operate in both at the same time. Amen. So faith comes by hearing. What's going to happen to the person who's delighting in the Word of God day and night? That's just not realistic. I got too much to do. If you're like most people, if you're like all of us, it's not about the time you have to spend in other responsibilities. There's a lot of wasted time. I mean, Americans and all of our convenience and all of our wealth and prosperity and all the advancements that we have, it's given the average American more spare time than previous generations. Remember when you had to grow your own food, milk the cow, feed the chickens? Some of y'all still do. That's fine. But I mean, literally from sun up to sun down. Amen. That's another reason why we were healthier. I mean, 4:30 breakfast was served, fried potatoes, bunch of eggs and sausage and bacon. Some of y'all getting hungry right now. I mean, you eat like a pig and go out and do what?
Work.
I mean, you were just, yeah. But now the convenience has given you time. And instead of filling all that time with day and night, night and day, we have chosen to what? Delight in, find our greatest pleasure in other things. The problem is that's not going to give you the kind of connection and intimacy with God that you're looking for, and it's not going to give you the results of the person that's blessed. I mean, you want to be blessed and not cursed. So, and it doesn't mean anything is bad. You go on a vacation is bad. Having some kind of amusement is bad. That's not the point. It's just you do all these things and you find there's no time for God and you wonder why you feel disconnected. Always remember this. When you feel disconnected, He's not the one that moved.
That's it.
Ever.
Ever.
And this, so I can clarify this, I really don't believe in the theology of the wilderness where people tell you that God is the one that put you there, because the Israelites didn't go through the wilderness because of God's will. They went through because of rebellion. And you cannot equate Jesus' experience of preparation for ministry with the disobedient people of Israel. Oftentimes people use this whole wilderness thing. I'm going through the wilderness, because God has to be out there. Oftentimes, what? You got there because you made a wrong turn.
That's right.
Because you weren't doing what God told you to do. All they had to do was go in and take the land that God told them was already theirs. And they came back with what? An evil report of unbelief. And it spread through the camp. And Joshua and Caleb could not do anything about those consequences. But thank God they remained faithful. 40 years later, Caleb says, I'm going to go get my land. I'm going to take my mountain now. Can you imagine 80-something years old? And he hasn't waned in his faith one iota. That's the way it is with faith people, because the circumstances, the setback didn't dictate whether he had faith or not. He had faith because of the Word of God. What an example to all of us. It just goes to show you, this is for somebody in here, people can do their best, but at the end of the day, they can't stop you from being blessed. They can't stop your forward momentum. They can do what they want. They can say what they want. They can finagle all they want to, but they can't stop you ultimately. He took his mountain. I said he took his mountain. Joshua accomplished his mission and Caleb took his mountain. Say, I'm taking mine too. But don't be under the deception of somehow that was God's best for them. I mean, God was faithful to them even in that circumstance. It's faithful to deliver them. But God did not lead them into the wilderness. They chose that wilderness experience because of what? Amen. God just wanted them to go in and take the victory. Glory to God. Amen. You'll find out that whenever we disconnect ourselves from the Word of God, listen carefully, it's just a matter of time. I have never seen a Christian ever begin to back away from the authority, integrity, efficacy of the Word of God, making the Word of God first place and final authority. I've never seen a person start making excuses and backing away from sacred doctrine that comes from that book. I've never seen any person do this where it didn't go well for them eventually in their family. Something fell apart. You divorce yourself from the Word of God, you're asking for trouble. Without exception, this is what happens when people cut themselves off from the Word of God. Let me encourage you. You found the answer. Amen. Anybody here call themselves a word person?
Amen.
You love the Word of God? You love the Spirit of God? You found the answer. Don't follow some fad in Christianity or some bitter person, you know. The new word is not even deconstruction. The new word is exvangelical. We no longer believe in preaching the gospel and winning the lost. You know, we have arrived mentally and intellectually. These lowly people down here, these stupid people that still believe that Jesus is the only way, that there's a heaven and there's a hell. Bless their darling hearts. Listen, you're not going to divorce yourself from what? From the very mind of God. In that arrogance and pride, and things go well for you. I heard one pastor talking about this. He said, I still call myself an evangelical. Why? Because we believe in the preaching of the gospel. It's the foolishness of God, amen. Mm-hmm. The perception is it's just foolishness, but it's God's mechanism. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that what? That believe. Ex-evangelical. I'm an ex-evangelical. I'm deconstructing my faith. Boo-hoo. You know what you're seeing in the church? It's the church's version, capital C, of the cry-ins at Yale and Harvard. Boo-hoo. Just, you know, put your little pull-ups on, grow up, and walk on with God. This life wasn't supposed to be easy, and yes, you are going to go through various things and challenges in your life, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now watch this, and you be on your guard for this. Don't you dare let some deconstructionist, ex-evangelical influence you. You stick to the Word of God. Amen. I said you stick to the Word of God. Yes. You don't have to attack anybody, but you personally stick to what God said. That's your answer. That's your victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's where we're staying. Amen. We're going to dance with the one that brung us because that's where the victory comes from. I'm going to move. You know, I'm going to find the latest fad, the newest theology, you know, the most relevant revelation today. You know, are you still one of those faith people? Yeah, because that's the prescribed way to live, darling. Four times the Word of God says, the just shall live by faith, not your fad. I'm an ex-evangelical. I'm a whatever. And this is what that pastor said so wisely. He said, the ex-evangelicals are known for what they're against. Evangelicals are known for what they're for. For life, for heaven, for victory, for peace. We speak the truth. We speak the truth in love, but we still speak the truth. There is nothing but devastation to anyone that cuts themselves off from the Word of God by elevating themselves above it as the judge. Amen.
Amen.
Go back to Psalm 1 because none of y'all are a part of that. Said, I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God. Blessed is the man. See, blessed is the man.
Blessed is the woman.
And that's the only two genders there are.
That's
right. So you can be a blessed man or a blessed woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. So a blessed man is not influenced by the thoughts, the deeds, or the words of the world. Can I have an amen? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He has a mentality like the Old Testament word hearken, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, then all these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you. Do y'all still believe the Word of God? Amen. What should you be expecting this year? For these things to come up on you and overtake you if you keep the condition. See, there are a lot of folks that are ex-evangelicals don't like the conditions. It didn't work for me. One person said, well, you know, y'all preach that God wants to prosper people. I don't know anybody in that church prospering. Well, I can give you a list. I can also give you a list of all the miracles,
yes,
all the signs, all the wonders, all the healings. Yes. Does that make sense? What they think is if you're somehow a faith person, then you're going to be able to say that everything 100% of the time worked out. There were no variables contributing to that situation, and everything is this perfect, hunky-dory. And if it's not that way, they don't want any part of it. Well, life's not that way in general. But here's what I will tell you. You will win 10,000 more times being a faith person than you will rejecting the message of faith.
Amen.
That's the reality. We don't live in a bubble. This is not a perfected place. We don't live without other variables affecting us. We're in a boxing ring and sometimes you get punched. And can I tell you something? There are a lot of Christians can't take a punch anymore. You need to be able to get punched in the mouth and get back up again. Ask me how I know. Punched, kicked. What you gonna do? Quit?
Nope.
I mean, I'm an ex-evangelical. I got kicked by a sheep. I'm deconstructing. I'll tell you what you are. You say you're deconstructing your faith. What you're telling me is that you built your house on the sand in the first place. You never built your house on the rock. That's why you're so quickly to deconstruct. But when you got a foundation that goes down deep, it's not that simple. You're like Peter, to whom shall we go? He has the words of eternal life. I'm not going anywhere. Amen. This is solid. This is true. This is real. You delight yourself in the word of God. For the person that does that, write these down. You can count on God that you will be like a tree planted by streams of water, yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Amen. See, that's me. Whatever he does prospers. But look at the contrast here. That person that he was just talking about, where they're following the wicked thoughts of the world, their deeds, their words, not so the wicked. They're like chaff the wind blows away. There's no stability there. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Shout it out, my way. But the way of the wicked will perish.
Yep.
Write this down. You're like a tree planted. You are established.
Yes.
You are fixed. Like Paul, you say, none of these things move me. Stable. Amen. When you are a person who has fellowship with and you're staying connected to God through his word, you are established. You're not impressed by every wind of doctrine that comes by. You're not impressed by experiences that you go through. The winds can blow. The devil can do his best, but his best isn't good enough.
Amen.
After the wind blows and settles down, there you are still standing.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? How many of y'all are old enough to remember Weebles?
Yeah.
You can do your best to knock over a Weeble. What's going to happen to it? It's going to come back up. Amen? I just know too many Christians that have lost their Weeble anointing. I mean, you knock them over, there they are. I've been hurt. I've been through trauma. Bless my heart. I haven't met anybody who's not been hurt. I haven't met anybody who's not been through trauma. What makes you so special? I've been hurt, so I'm an ex-evangelical. No, what you're telling us is that you built your house on the sand instead of the word of God. So that you elevated your emotions, your feelings, your own mental analysis above the word of God. You're saying a lot by saying that. Of course you're going to be punched if you get into the ring. Well, I don't want to get into the ring. 411, when you got born again, you climbed into the ring. Now, you can run around, jump out, try all you want to, but I suggest you do everything to stand. Having done all to stand, stand and learn how to stand in your armor and how to punch back. Punch back with your faith, with your words, with your praise. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Get back in there and fight.
Yes.
We need you to fight. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like quitting. Well, take a number. Are you special? No, Tommy Barnett used to say all the time, you can think about quitting if you know you never will. Say it, I never will. I cannot be defeated. That's scriptural fact and truth. He always leads us in triumph. Second part, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. What part of that do you think the devil works on the average believer with the most? I will not quit. Because if you quit, you are done. And now there's a vacuum there in your life. Listening carefully. When you disconnect from the Word of God, there is a spiritual vacuum that sucks in all kinds of error, all kinds of compromise, all kinds of problems, all manners of the curse that you were redeemed from years ago.
Amen.
Not about you, but I don't want any more curse creep in my life. Had enough of the creeps. Amen. It's so important to get hold of this.
Yes.
Because once you are a person who is day and night in the Word of God, you're established and you're not easily moved.
Amen.
To feel something deeply, to be hurt tremendously, to be pushed around, boxed around, misunderstood, maligned, attacked, whatever the case may be, and yet you stand there. In your establishment because of the Word of God. That is so Christ-honoring.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, say it. Weebles wobble.
Weebles.
But they don't fall down. Say it with me. Word people wobble. But they don't fall down. We need to find some weebles and pass them out. Amen. Just pass them out in church. This weeble day at the harbor. Glory to God. It's kind of like those things you used to box like Bozo, you know, push them, and they're back up. You know, if they don't deflate them, they come back up again too, you know. Amen. Say it, I'm established.
I'm established.
Glory to God. He's like a tree. Say it, I'm like a tree. Planted. By what? Streams of water. Say it, I am nourished. When you're connected to the Word of God, you are nourished. That life-giving sap is coming into you. That living water is found itself into your life as a constant stream, a constant flow. That's what happens when you are a Word person. Mm-hmm. Say, well, I'm established and I'm nourished. You cut yourself off from the Word of God, how in the world are you going to be nourished? And if you're cutting yourself off from the Word of God, then what intakes are you taking? You're taking in something. And that does not nourish you. That does not, you know, build you up and encourage you. He's planted by streams. Say, that's me. Which yields its fruit in season. You are fruitful. Psalms talk about being fruitful even in old age. See, the closer you are to old age, the more you amen. Each decade, your amen should be louder. Yes. You should be bearing fruit when? You are perpetually bearing fruit. Let me say it to you like this. When you're a child of God, you're eternally bearing fruit. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. You are established. You are nourished. You are fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the ministry, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Another soul, another person coming into the kingdom of God. And not just let the preacher do it. Let the evangelist do it. No, we're all part of that fruit bearing. But you can't do it. You can't bear the fruit of the Spirit, and you can't bear the fruit of ministry in your efforts if you're disconnected from the Word of God. Something will rush in and steal your passion and steal your time and steal your focus and steal your energy, and you will not be bearing much fruit. And it's all because you're disconnected from the Word of God. And listen, there are only two choices, right? Say it with me, the Word of God or the thoughts of the wicked, the deeds of the wicked, the words of the wicked. Those are your two choices. Oh, no, I'm kind of neutral. You're deceived. There is no neutrality in this.
No.
You're either taking in the life-giving Word of God or you're taking in something that is life-stealing. How in the world could we sit in church all these decades and still allow things to steal the life on the inside of us? You can see why the devil tried to convince people to throw the Word of God down. Throw the Word of God down, they're done. I mean, they may still screech in the heaven made day, but they'll be totally defeated on their way in and do nothing to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ in these last days. You see, the devil understands that somebody is deeply rooted in their salvation. So for that person, he wants to neutralize any influence and impact they would have. To do that, he's got to get people out of the Word of God. Amen. Say it, I am established, I am nourished, I am fruitful. I love this one, and whose leaf does not wither. This is what you call resilience. Amen.
Yeah.
Say it, I am resilient.
I am resilient.
I take a licking and keep on ticking. See, what is that, Pastor? That's an old Timex commercial.
Yeah.
But it's applicable in any generation.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, some people look cross-eyed at you, and that's it, I'm done. I really hung in there. I tithe for 3 whole weeks. Nothing changed. Congratulations. Well, I believe this faith stuff and everything didn't change in my life in 6 months. Well, how long have you been sowing the seeds that caused the destruction?
Right. Yeah.
I spent 30 years sowing seeds of destruction and God's going to pull you out of this in 6 months. You got to be diligent.
Yeah, that's good.
You got to stand like you're going to stand forever. Brother Hagin used to say, if you'll be prepared to stand like you have to stand forever, you won't be standing very long. Amen. Resilience. I'm intrigued by the entire concept of resilience because I see that is where really the linchpin is in so many Christians' lives. They do real well for a while. You know, what should be your motivation to be here tonight? Well, you know, the kids are over there, so I had to come. Oh, somebody begged me to come. Or should you be self-motivated to be under the Word of God, to receive revelation?
That's right.
And nothing stops you. There are no seasons where there are lulls in your intake. You're diligent about this. You're self-motivated. You understand? You value these things so dearly that no matter what anybody else does, you're still on a growth track. You continue to seek God with all of your heart. You're resilient. Amen. Sun can beat down on you. Circumstances can go the wrong way. Amen. But you're still going to be standing.
Amen.
Say, I am resilient. And if you're going to do anything in these last days, you're going to have that resiliency tested in you. And when that happens, just back up and say, you know what? I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. To live is Christ. To die is gain. He must increase. I must decrease. Lord, this is your battle. Contend with those that contend with me. There's no way for me to deal with this in the flesh. So you go ahead and take care of this. I'm just going to watch you, amen. Just like Jehoshaphat, I'll just sing and praise you and watch you rout the enemy. That's exactly what your mindset has to be. And you'll be a resent. How do we lose our resentment? We think we got to help God out a little bit. And believe you and me, I've had that temptation on many occasions.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Jesse said, Lord, I know you said, vengeance is mine. But you take too long. He said, I just want to take care of this and then repent later. Just like, let me take care of it. One of the funniest stories I ever heard them tell, years ago, they were in, I think it was Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, and the convention center was a union shop. And they're supposed to have a meeting, I think it started like at 7 o'clock. It's about 4 or 5 o'clock, and these union folks would not do anything. They didn't like the preachers that were coming in, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and so it's like, no, we're not going to do anything. And years before that, Jesse had gotten a mob don's nephew off of drugs. And he was so impressed by this young man's turnaround that he wanted to meet him. So one time the cars pulled up in a vacant lot and he actually met this guy. And he said, Brother Duplantis, I like you. What you did for my nephew was so wonderful. Here's my card if you ever need anything at all, you just call me. And Jesse's wife said, Jesse, you get rid of that card right now. You get rid of that card. Well, he kept that card. And these workers would not do anything, and they wouldn't allow Savelle's and the Plantis' people to do anything anyway, because it was a union shop. So Jesse said, Jerry, would you excuse me a moment? He goes over, gets on the phone with that card. About 5 minutes later, that union boss comes out white as a ghost. Yes, Mr. Duplantis. Anything you want, Mr. Duplantis. We'll take care of it. And they, with bells on, fixed that place. Now, here's the funny thing. This was just a few years before Jerry went home to be the Lord. They're at the Believers Convention. Jerry comes out after Jesse telling this story. He goes, I can't believe what you did. I've never heard this story. That's how you got them to get the work done? Jesse's like, you got to do what you got to do. Everybody say resilience.
Yeah.
Say resilience. You know, when you're first in ministry, I don't know, Sharon, if you put this on my desk or not, but you know, there's this young preacher and he was brand new to the ministry and someone asked him to do a funeral, but it's way out in the country somewhere, you know, and he didn't know where to go. And so in the process of going out to do this funeral, this graveside, he got lost. He finally saw where there was a hole dug on the edge of the forest there, and very few people were there. And he felt so bad that a few people attended the funeral, he started preaching up a storm. And he just preached what we call a stem winder of a message. And the people around the graveside, they really, really enjoyed it. That was great. So this man said to him after, he goes, thank you for sharing that. That is the most outstanding. That's the greatest sermon I ever heard somebody preach at the opening of a septic tank. Yes, amen. I'm going to that boy probably needs to go back to seminary. It was Brother Puckett years ago had a huge procession behind him. I think it was hundreds of cars going to a funeral, and Pastor Puckett took a wrong turn. And you know what happens when you're the lead car? They all follow. Now, ask yourself a question. Where does Pastor Art go in a funeral procession? Behind the funeral director's car. That's never happened to me because I'm not the lead dog, amen. And I always think about that story, yes, amen. Praise God. Say it, I'm resilient. Say it again, I am resilient. I'm established, nourished, fruitful, resilient. I'm telling you, if you will stand and not waver, you will see yourself walk in victory, not defeat.
Amen.
But you're deceiving yourself. You think something's not going to come at you. Greater is he that's in you than he that what? Is in the world. And the last thing it says is whatever he does, prospers. Watch that. I'm established because of the word. I'm nourished because of the word. I'm fruitful because of the word. I'm resilient because of the word. And I'm prosperous because of the word. And this church is why you don't let some ex-evangelical, some I don't believe all that stuff, talk you out of your prosperity. Yes. When you chose to what? Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And on his law, you meditate day and night. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And then let some crackpot talk you out of it. That's the word of God. You either believe it or you don't. You sticking to the word of God will cause good success in every area of your life. That is not a man-made doctrine. That is what God says. Psalm 35, 27, he delights in the prosperity of his servants. But they have to do what? They have to delight themselves in the word of God. They have to be established, amen, and nourished and fruitful and resilient to get that level of prosperity. Some of these so-called ex-evangelicals and critics of the faith people out there, and by that we mean you. You're the target. You crazy Pentecostal charismatics faith people.
That's it. Oh, well.
What they're really saying is, I don't believe in that prosperity stuff because I don't want to do what it takes to get it from God's perspective. All I can tell you is these promises are great and precious, and they're yes And they're amen. And you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you don't let anybody talk you out of what that word can produce in your life. You have laser beam focus. Listen, God gave us Psalm 1. God gave us Jeremiah 17. God gave us 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in health. Even there's the catch. Even as your soul prospers by delighting yourself in the word of God day and night, you're abiding in God. Therefore, you can connect and receive that. Amen. But some folks are just too lazy to do it God's way. Amen. So they become the critic. Well, you need to learn to tune out the voices that are discouraging your devotion and fidelity to the word of God and dial in to voices that are encouraging you. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How can you abide in God? You abide in God by abiding in his word. Remember this, abiding means to dwell, to stay, to remain. This won't work for a week or two.
No.
It
takes a lifetime.
I said this before, but I watch people dig in like this. You start watching them 5-15 years, you know, and some folks just don't have the discipline, the perseverance. They don't have the resilience, right? But I've watched this, and all of a sudden, it seems like those folks are just like overnight successes in the things they're doing. There's no overnight to it.
No.
They've been believing and planting and growing and harvesting for a long, long time. Nobody paid much attention to that. But now all of a sudden, God's blessing. Well, they must be doing something wrong. No, they're doing it God's way. Amen. They've been faithful to it, and now these blessings are coming up on them and overtaking them. And I have sensed this for the past couple of years so strong. There are people sitting in this church even tonight, and this is what's going to happen to you on short order. You're about to see yourself overcome. You've been hearkening, and it's going to come up on you and overtake you. Amen. And let the naysayers squeal all they want to. They weren't there when you had to fight. Amen. When you were reduced to nothing but ashes and you chose to get up anyway. When your body was attacked and your marriage was attacked and your family was attacked and your finances were attacked and people misunderstood you and cut you off, but you stood. They don't have a voice. They don't have a vote in this. It's what you did at that moment. So get ready. The faithful shall abound with blessings. And the naysayer has no vote. It's like Jesse said, you don't like the way God's prospered me? You don't like what God has done in my life? You don't like to see what God has blessed me with? He's the one that did it, so blame him. Amen. Can you receive this tonight?
Yes.
Say it one more time. I'm abiding in the word of God. Say, I'm planted.
I'm planted.
I'm nourished.
I'm fruitful.
I'm resilient.
I'm resilient.
I'm prosperous. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Because I abide.
I abide.
I don't play with.
I abide
in the word of God. Come on, give him a hand clap and thank him tonight.
Woo!
Thank you, Father. Just go ahead and put your hand on your device or on your Bible tonight. Just make up your mind that make a quality decision tonight. Making a difference. I understand that device has multiple translations, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're reading them. Amen. Ain't nothing worse than having a device with 200 translations and you don't read any of them. Put your hand on your Bible and your device as a point of contact. And say this, say, in Jesus' name, I commit tonight with a decision of quality that I reject the thoughts of the wicked, the deeds of the wicked, and the words of the wicked. Instead, by a quality decision for which there's no retreat, I dedicate myself to receiving the thoughts, words, and deeds of Almighty God through His Word. I will meditate day and night. I'll be disciplined to feed myself daily in the Word of God. I fully understand there's a great blessing attached to be in that type of believer. I fully expect, as I abide in the Word, I'm abiding in God. And I can expect every benefit, every victory from that. Lord, I stand here today and I repent for not giving your Word first place and final authority in my life. I desire to be a Word person, receiving the Word every day diligently. I confess I have what Paul prayed for, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I understand the things I read, and I apply the things I read for the glory of God. So I boldly say tonight, I am established. I am nourished. I am fruitful. I am resilient. And I am prosperous because of the Word working in my life. I am diligent. I hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. I hear with an attitude to obey and obey quickly. And I believe all these blessings will come up on me and overtake me all the days of my life in Jesus' name. This is between me and the Word of God. No naysayer, no critic, no unbeliever, no ex-evangelical has a vote. This is between me and the Word of God. And I settle it tonight with my faith and with my confession in Jesus' name. Now come on, give him a hand clap and thank him tonight.